Hello and hi. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and because of coronavirus, we are shifting gears. My guest today is Josh Shagorin, and we were going to talk about Death Scribe, but that's been postponed, so we're going to talk about just horror movies and other fun genre stuff in general. Josh is also he's Chad the Bird on Chad the Podcast, and he's as big a horror fan as I am, and we're just going to shoot the shit. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you? Coming to you live from quarantine here in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. So many things have been postponed. I've had actually interviews dropped. I'm like, we were just going to be on the phone, man.
That's weird. That's a strange thing to do. You're like, how bad is it where you are that you can't use the Skype?
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be perfect for these times.
I have a feeling that, StreamYard and Skype and Zoom are just going to be signing up people. I think Discord made an announcement that because of the directives for so many people to work from home, they're increasing temporarily the number of people you can have, like, on the lower tier. So where people used to be able to have 10, you can now have 50. I'm like, dude, that is cool. And they're not charging extra for it. I'm like, you guys are cool.
See, and the thing is, I have a friend. He's still alive. I have a friend. You have to preface these things. Who says, this is a lot like what our parents went through with Vietnam, and then before that, it was the World War II, Depression, Spanish flu, all that. I was like, yeah, maybe, but they didn't have the internet. So that might be our saving grace, is that we have this thing. And it's also a great excuse to mention to your representatives and the people in government that the internet is a utility, not a privilege, especially in times like. So vote.
Net neutrality was always your friend. Let's make it so again.
And yeah, I think if anything, what we're going to learn from this is how important public officials that have the public in mind are. So keeping that in the brain pan as we move forward. And that's my post for the day. Thank you.
Yay. Oh, so
we had to postpone Death Scribe again.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you guys, because, like, I look forward to that every year, just hearing it, just hearing the performances of the finalists, talking to the writers and directors of the finalists, and it's been postponed again, and I'm like, what am I going to do?
Well, the good news is we've got our SoundCloud still that you can go to, and I think you have the link for that. If you go to that, you can listen to the past few years. If you go to our website, we have a bunch of them up so you can get your fix. All of them were recorded live. Most of them were recorded live at Death Scribe proper. Some of them were from other live shows. All of them have been recorded live, though, so you'll get that, like, the experience of going to see the show.
I can't tell you how many people, people even peripherally involved in horror, when I say horror on stage in Chicago, they go, oh, really? Tell me more. And then I direct them to Earwigs. Because that one still freaks me out. Oh my god!
Cavities was the one that got me. That was, I think that was two. That was Death Scribe X. Wait, I have a computer in front of me and the internet.
I think Cavities came in. It might have been 2017, because I remember it was after Earwigs.
Yeah, that was Bill Daniel. He's the guy that wrote the zombie western we just did. Wrote that one and the. And I think I said this last time we talked about it, but that's the first time I walked out of a tech, because it was so disturbing that it was just grossing me out, and I had to leave, center myself. I do believe that one is available online.
It is. Like it is. I've seen it listed there, and I don't listen to it.
No.
I skip over it.
I think that's the best compliment you can get from a horror production company, is when someone's like, yeah, don't listen to this one. It's too gross. I'm like, yeah, it's nuts.
That now, if someone I know is like a really, really huge fan of like Saw and Hostel and all that, I'm gonna go, yeah, go listen to
Yeah, no,
Cabbies.
so that one. That one's tough.
There was one from last year that when I read it, I my jaw literally bounced off the floor a couple times. Subject number nine.
See, now
Dude.
we can't spoil that. We can't say what it's about. You just have to
No.
do it.
You have to go listen to that because that there's that literal oh shit moment.
Oh yeah.
And you oh. So
The
here's my recommendation. Go to SoundCloud, Wild Claw Theater, their SoundCloud. Look for the recordings for Subject Number 9 from 2018 and Cavities from 2017 and Earwigs from 2015. And then you will have experienced part of the wide range of deliciousness that comes from Death's Cry. So I'm so disappointed it's canceled, but keeping people safe and alive, it takes precedence.
You know, it's kind of a weird time when you're no longer the scariest thing out
Yeah.
there. You're just like, ooh, well, this is more Lovecraftian than we've ever done. So we're just going to bow out and let them take over for a bit, and then we'll come back with more. Yeah, it was actually the venue is why we had to do it. We would have done it anyway, but we kind of had the decision made for, well, because it was at the end of this month, and we thought maybe there was a possibility, and then we were looking at the trends here in Chicago because most of the big theaters have shut down for good reason. Like it's not us. We're not saying it was a bad thing. We're saying no, this is a good thing. We're glad that we're taking this seriously and that we're keeping our audiences safe and that we're not letting our pride in our work come before the humanity. So
Yeah,
we thought.
I think a whole lot of people didn't realize how serious this could be until they canceled March Madness. When the
All of a
NC,
sudden,
yeah.
saw it all over Facebook. I'm like, really? That's what it took? The science? But okay.
It's like all of the conference tournaments and the main tournament have been, and people just lost their minds. They're like, "What am I gonna do with no sports?" I'm like,
Well,
"There are these
he
things called
canceled
books, you
the
know,
books, others, just
audiobooks, you
hanging out
know."
with friends. Do you do that? The they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade. They went back and forth on it too.
And that surprised me because that's like a that's a almost a holy institution in Chicago.
It's wholly something I avoid, but yeah, no, definitely a big deal out here. And we're on the north side, so you mentioned Chad the Bird. That's a character I do over at the Green Mill every Saturday, and usually St. Patrick's Day is one of our favorite shows because all the suburban crazy people go south to downtown to watch the parade and leave the north side for the locals. So the locals all come to the show, and we have an Irish band that usually plays, and it's always jovial and mellow. Everyone's like, no, this is for us. You go be crazy over there.
So
Wear your beads and your little what have yous.
I have to ask, is Chad the Bird a Sox fan or a Cubs fan?
So it's funny, that's like the question everybody asks, and I love that because I'm like, yeah, what is he? No, he hangs in the middle. He's a fair weather fan when it
Oh.
comes to Cubs and Sox because he doesn't like to play sides because he loves both sides equally for different reasons. Cubs because they won the World Series and made Back to the Future 2 more of a like Nostradamus level predictive film. And then the White Sox, because they also won a World Series, and that was the first game that he went to, the first parade that he went to was the White Sox parade when they won. But he kind of goes back and forth. Right now, he's more of a Sox fan because the Cubs fans freak him out. He looks at it a lot like Fish, the band. He's got nothing
Okay.
against Fish, the band. But Fish fans, on the other hand, can screw right off. So either or, depending on how your fandom is playing, is where he's going to hang. But yeah, he's more of a hockey fan. He's big into the Blackhawks. So.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good to know. I actually used to, I worked for like when I was in college, I think 4 years, maybe five. No, I think it was four. For 4 seasons, I worked in the promotions department for the Capitals.
Nice.
And the coolest thing to me, the coolest thing was an NHL Hall of Famer, Ivan LeBrun, was my boss.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I got to see him like, two or three times a week during the hockey season. I'm sitting there going, I'm standing next to an NHL Hall of Famer. Holy shit.
He was on, wasn't he on the Penguins once back when? I don't know why I know that. Because he's Canadian, isn't he? Something about my brain just went, wasn't he on the Penguins at one point? I'm Googling him.
Google him right now. I don't remember. I just remember he ended his playing days in Washington and then took over because Washington was a new team back then.
So, yeah, I was right. Okay, yeah. So, like, in the 70s, for a hot minute, he played on the Penguins. And I know this because a lot of my mom's family is from Pittsburgh.
Ah, there you go.
Where I know that from. Anyway, so hockey. But anyway.
Yep. No, I was a fan of the Capitals. I became a fan of the Rangers because when I moved to Philadelphia, I could not under any circumstance root for the Flyers. It was just, that's just going to be wrong. Sure. But no.
Been to many Flyers.
Yeah.
Games, so
February 15th, pitchers and catchers report is like a holiday to me. So that's why I asked about the baseball.
Yes. Do you ever watch the show Letterkenny on it's a Canadian show.
I know of it. I have never watched it.
You should check it out sometime. It's probably one of my favorite shows that's out there right now. And they do it's a hockey show. But it's a hockey show meets Always Sunny. It's like the Canadian Always Sunny in Philadelphia except with a kinder heart because they're Canadian. And it's a lot of hockey jokes. And I think you'd dig it.
Nice. But we need to talk about horror.
Dude, it also begins with an H and an O. Moving on a little lower on the alphabet. There's a lot of good horror movies that I've been watching. And I'm looking forward to using my quarantine to catch up on ones I haven't seen. But, you know, there have been some great ones that I got to watch over the past couple of days.
I'm leaning strongly towards diving into a Shudder subscription because...
don't have it? Oh my God.
I don't have it yet. My budget is like insanely tight.
Well, it's like $4 a month. It's tight on this end too, but I know my necessities. I'm giving up mac and cheese and just using that money for Shudder. No, it's that and Disney Plus have been my two favorite things to just scroll through.
Mm-hmm.
Shudder is like walking through the horror section of Blockbuster when I was a kid.
Back in the day, oh yeah.
You just see so many movie titles that you're like, what? The Unborn? Oh my God, I remember that. Or some crazy, you know, movie that you haven't, like Creep? Oh, I remember Creep. Let's do this.
I have a question. Yeah. You have a Shudder subscription, right?
I do.
Do you know if they have It Lives, It's Alive and It Lives Again?
Oh, let's see. Actually, I don't know.
Those movies creeped me out. Those were two of the first three horror movies I saw. I think I saw all three of them before I was 12. Jaws was the very first one I saw. I was 10 years old sitting in the theater. It was like a 10 o'clock showing and we're watching Jaws and it's like me, my little brother, my dad. And it was my dad's fault. He said, we have to go see this movie and mom wouldn't let any of us go see it. So she one weekend went out to play cards with the girls and dad said, come on kids, keep your mouth shut.
The first horror movie I ever saw was Gremlins, and I watched it by accident because I didn't know what it was.
Is that really a horror movie?
I want to say yes.
It's a Christmas movie that happens to have creepy monsters. So, see, I have a distinction. Monster movies and horror movies can be the same thing, but I don't consider them the same. Gremlins, to me, is a monster movie.
All right. That's fair. Okay, so then I would say Alien 3 I would call a horror movie. And that would be the first horror film I ever saw. Even though it's got sci-fi elements, the focus is on that dread and that hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd say Alien 3. Because, like, Alien 1 is a horror film. Alien 2 is an action movie. Alien 3 is a horror film. And then there are no other Alien movies as far as...
Now, see, here's the thing. Was it Alien Resurrection?
Oh,
was the fourth one. I think that's a better quality movie than Alien 3. I really, really was disappointed with Alien 3.
We're not talking about good versus bad here.
Okay.
I have defended Alien 3 across the board by always prefacing, look, it's not that good. But I have a personal affination towards it just because of its history with me. Plus, I think the first two-thirds of it are pretty great. It just goes off the rails and gets real stupid by the end. And David Fincher will even admit to that.
And that happens way too much in horror. Because let me tell you, I will fight people over the movie Event Horizon. Up until the last 10 or 15 minutes, that movie had the potential to surpass Alien as a magnificent piece of horror. And then the ending happened, and I wanted to punch a lot of people in the face.
Sam Neill covered in latex, latex scratches, running around screaming about nonsense, the underworld. It's Lovecrafty. I enjoyed that.
That ending was a...
Oh my God, the ending's the best.
It's horrible. Compared to the magnificence that preceded it in the first hour and 20 minutes, I'm like, you end with this crap? What is wrong with you?
It ends with a switcheroo and like that stupid moment where she's like, I'm still in the ship. And they're, oh yeah. I was like, all right. It did not stick the landing.
No.
But I do love that movie.
It could have been a good... bad ending, you know, kind of like Bo Jackson running through the outfield wall, kind of, oh my God, what did I just see? But no, they missed. They completely missed. It was a miss. Yeah.
But there's so many great, like, legendary moments, though, in that movie. And it starts off with Prodigy for some reason. And we're shooting through a little time tunnel. And I was like, oh, I'm in for this. And then... get creepy Sam Neill talking about, oh, here's how black holes work. And, you know, then, you know, they build up that tension to the point where when they release the crazy and they see that video of the, what, like everybody eating themselves and all that madness. Yeah. Strap in.
Yeah.
And then it just gets fun and insane after that. Lawrence Fishburne has a line in that movie. That I will, if I ever, ever in my life get to meet Lawrence Fishburne, I'll be like, I just need you to do something for me. I just need to see this line into my camera for an Instagram post, and he'll be like, oh, is it going to be The Matrix? I'm like, no, it's not The Matrix, because I don't think that was your best performance. I think your best performance was in Event Horizon, because nobody could nail this line but you. It's when they're translating the Latin, and the guy's like, I think it means... deliver us. And they've been saying hell over and over. Lawrence Fishburne just looks up and goes, from hell? It's like, in all fairness, he's right. But you feel it. Because he's like, yeah, hell is real. I'm like, no one else can nail it. No one else can do that but you, Mr. Fishburne. Larry Fishburne, to us that know you from Dream Warriors. So what have you been snacking on lately in the horror genre?
The horror genre so far in 2020 has been slow for me. I saw a movie. Have you seen Color Out of Space?
Twice.
Yeah, there you go. That was so weird and delicious. There was another movie, Midnight.
After Midnight. Which one was that one?
After Midnight is... it's a switch. It switches up on you, and it's a wonderful, wonderful. People who like just tense dramas will like this, because this movie plays with your perceptions. You don't know if the guy's going crazy. You don't know if he's imagining this monster. You don't know what this monster wants. At some point, there's a head fake, and I talked to the writer director. Team
really?
That did this movie, they didn't intend the head fake. They because we talked about it, because at some, that this guy is losing his mind because his long-term girlfriend has left him. Hasn't right. left, but she's not in the picture. And he doesn't know if she's coming back. And at one point in time, you kind of get the implication that maybe the monster is her coming home.
Very cool.
And they said, yeah, we're getting that from a lot of people who've watched the movie. And we did not mean that. They did awesome. Not intentionally do it. And I'm like, you have no idea how awesome that is.
Well, yeah, I've seen trailers for it. It pops up on my feed every now and then. I think it's on Amazon Prime, and so I haven't seen it yet. So maybe that will be the first of my dive-ins, because mm-hmm. I love the poster for it.
Yeah.
It's that creepy pumpkin head-looking creature head in the mm-hmm. heart with all the antlers and things.
And it has one of those what-the-F endings.
Fantastic. In like it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of what the F, there is a movie, I believe it is on Shudder, which is where I saw it. It's an independent film called The Headhunter. Have you heard about that?
No, I have not.
So The Headhunter movie, yeah, that's how I would Google it. I think it's Russian, right? I don't remember what language it is. I don't even remember if there's any subtitles or not, because it is very... It's very quiet and very, like, there's not a lot of dialogue in it. And it's an indie film. It was made for nothing. I think it was like $30,000 is, I think, how much the movie was made for. It was shot in 30 days, and it is a fantasy horror film. It's about this Viking warrior, like medieval warrior, you know, insert whatever tribe here. It's very Game of Thronesy.
Mm-hmm.
He is a monster hunter, and his daughter was murdered by a monster. And one day he's like the monster hunter for the kingdom. So every day the kingdom blows the horn, he goes out, kills the monster, brings the head home, puts it on his wall. And as you get to know the guy, you find out, oh, his daughter was murdered by a monster. And he's kind of got this obsession with finding that monster. And then one day he learns, oh, the monster is back. So he's going to go find the monster that killed his daughter. And the movie continues from there. Mm-hmm. It has a knockout ending. And it's basically Game of Thrones meets Evil Dead.
Oh.
And it's scary and it's fun. And it slipped in there. No one like saw it. And it's short. It's like an hour and 10 minutes. Like almost no dialogue, all done with just the suggestions. And the fact that they made this epic fantasy world on $30,000, I think should be applauded, because they just like Monsters, when Gareth Edwards made that movie way back when, you only see little bits and pieces of things that suggest this giant world. And if you have Shudder, check it out. It's a great little like spooky late night freak fest, and it's fun.
Nice.
It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah, The Headhunter. Good one.
Let's see, what else? Last summer and last fall, there were two movies that came out that, what is it? The Shed.
The Shed. What's that one? I'm looking that up while I'm talking.
I think that is on Shudder as well. If it's supposed to be coming. Ooh. Is it there?
It's definitely on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's on Shudder.
Okay. I was hoping it was going to come to Netflix because I saw a screener of that, and that is fun.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. It says, according to one of the reviews that popped up, it's revengefully entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's about vampires.
It's a vampire kind of movie, and a getting revenge on the bullies kind of thing, and it's very bloody.
It's not on Shudder, but I'll check it out. The Shed, okay? That's movie mm-hmm. number one I have to watch.
Did you see Hoax?
Did not see Hoax. Oh,
I think that one is on Shudder.
Let's see, Hoax movie.
Ben Browder's in it.
Oh, wow. Ooh, is it a creature feature? It looks like it is.
It is. The end of it goes, I mean, the tone of it through the entire movie is more like Shaun of the Dead kind of campy, and then the end of it goes like straight up hostile, and I'm like, what is this shift in tone? So you have to, if you prepare yourself for the direction, like literally it's one of those 90-degree hard left turns or hard right turns, or
Yeah.
literally a hard turn somewhere else other than the path you were on.
Oh, I'm
If
in.
you appreciate those slasher, over the top dismemberment and gore fests, you're just gonna go, you'll be shocked, and then you'll go, oh wow, cool. And if you're
Fun.
not prepared for it, it's gonna it'll like slant your brain. You're gonna go,
Oh,
what did I just see?
wow. Ooh,
But
sweet. Yeah, no, it's
up
not Shepard.
until up until that point, it is campy and ridiculous, and it's fun. And then it goes into what the territory, but it's a good movie. The effects in it are really cool, and they use atmosphere as tension, which is really, really
Perfect.
entertaining. So I liked Hoax.
I'll check it out. Check out Hoax. Let's see. What did I just watch recently that I thought was magical that I was just in love with? And I would consider this a horror film. Ready or Not. Did you know about this movie?
No.
Okay, so I did a double feature where I watched Knives Out in the theater, which is not a horror film, but is amazing, and I thought one of the best pictures of last year. And that's Rian Johnson doing his thing. Did you see this one, Knives Out?
I have not seen that yet. I'm waiting for it to hit Netflix or something.
It's perfect. And then Ready or Not, which I'm sure you've seen either trailers for or a poster of.
Oh, yes. It like yeah,
She
that's the
married and
she meets the family because they're getting married.
right.
Okay.
I rented that movie because both of those movies are class warfare films, a little bit like, because I thought it was interesting that most of the big movies last year were all about class warfare, including Parasite, which won Best Picture, thank goodness. But Ready or Not was this little squeaker that shot through that not a lot of people saw, and then like all of a sudden everybody saw. And it's very much Cabin in the Woods level of horror, where it's fun, but also it's a horror movie, but also you're having fun with the horror experience. Like, it's scary, but it's also a blast. And it is about this woman who marries into this family who's like a legendary gaming family, where they're like Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers, where they have this fortune based on like games. And the whole movie takes place in a night, which I loved. It's the after the wedding. The whole deal was, if you're going to marry into the family, you have to play the game that night. And the game is hide and seek. But the thing is, if the family finds you, they kill you. And so it's all about this woman who has to survive the night, and she's in a wedding dress the whole night. And it just gets bloodier and bloodier and crazier, and then it just goes off the rails. And to say anything would ruin the movie, because it's got such a cool little story. It's what's her name? Samara Weaving is the woman who's in the she's in Three Billboards. She's in The Babysitter, and she's awesome, just awesome. And yeah, it's a little bit of Cabin in the Woods because it's funny and gory at the same time. And then it just kind of, oh, Andie MacDowell is in it for some reason. And it's great to
Okay.
see you again, but you're like, what is Andie MacDowell doing here? Good to see you. It's a riot. And if you haven't seen it, it is a perfect, like, let's sit down, turn off the lights, and just watch something funny and bloody and scary. Yeah, no, it's that was a big one on my list. So if you haven't seen it, see it. So
I
good.
will move that farther up my list then.
And it's just fun watching her. Again, it's a little bit of Evil Dead in that too, in that way, where it's just fountains of blood cascading off the walls, with Samara Weaving in this like ripped up wedding dress and like a chainsaw and a shotgun, being like, what the hell is going on? And you're right there with her the whole time. Yeah, good times. But not necessarily, I wouldn't say it was scary, but it was
But it
great.
was fun.
Great, good
Okay.
time. But then again, like we say, it doesn't have to be scary to be a horror film. It can be a good time.
This is true.
I don't think The Reanimator is particularly scary, but it is particularly wonderful. See, what else did I?
I have to admit, Warner Brothers sent me the DVD collection for Swamp Thing, and I am still going through that. I'm like, oh my god, how the hell could they cancel this?
Yeah, I heard it was wonderful. I haven't seen any of it.
I think it's available.
I'll check it out. Yeah, I heard it was fun. Because what's his name did that? Is it James Wan that did that? Who did that? Let's see.
I don't remember.
I know. That's why we have this. That's why we have it open.
This Google box.
We're going to check it out. The googly box. Oh, who was it? We don't have to hold on this for a while. But yeah, I feel like somebody worked on it that was a big deal. And not that these people aren't a big deal. I'm saying somebody's got a big name in the horror community. Yeah, I don't remember. It sounded like it was good. It was created by Gary Dauberman and Mark Verheiden. And
that's it. Yeah.
Because he wrote – that's who it was. Dauberman wrote It and The Nun and Annabelle Creation and all those things. So that's where I heard the name. But and then Verheiden, on the other hand, what's there to say there? Because he's got his whole
he's done a lot of TV that I enjoyed too. So
yeah, he did. He was the executive producer. There we go, of Ash vs. Evil Dead, which I loved.
Mm.
What a fun series. Let's see. What did I see recently? There's a lot of good ones out right now on Netflix that are a little under the radar that nobody saw. Candyman is back on Netflix. BT dubs. Only available on Vudu for a while, which was the only way you could watch it. And I had a friend who got really excited about it, and he borrowed my Vudu account just so he could watch Candyman. But it's on Netflix now. I liked In the Tall Grass. I thought that was kind of fun. Sweetheart! That's the name of the movie that I've been trying to think of. Have you seen
I have not heard of this. Tell me more.
Fun. All right. Okay, so it's on Netflix. It is about a woman who gets shipwrecked on an island with a creature. And that is the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. It's really one of those movies that starts off awesome. And then the ending is okay. It's not bad. It's not like a Biff. But it kind of peters out a little bit. But not in a bad way. In a just kind of like a, if you're not... It's great for somebody who's not super into horror and for you to bring them in.
Okay.
But the beginning is awesome.
Now, the ones that are on Netflix that I have on my list, there's something called The Endless. And The Silence.
I've seen that for a long time. The Endless. I haven't seen that. The Silence. Do I know that one? I think I saw that one. Yes, The Silence. Oh, you know why? Because it's Stanley Tucci. And it is basically Bird Box. Or no, it's Bird Box meets A Quiet Place, which is Bird Box for your ears.
And apparently this is actually, The Silence is actually based off of the book and was in production in the works longer than Bird Box was. And everyone's like, well, wait, is this based off the book, The Silence? Because apparently the book, The Silence, is Knock Your Socks Off great.
Great. I'll check that out. Because, yeah, I saw For the Paper Machete, which is that show that I was talking about earlier that I do at the Green Mill. I had to watch Bird Box. And so I had to sit through that. And if you would like to know my thoughts on that, please visit chadthebird.com and find the Bird Box episode.
I will link to the Bird Box episode so people can be entertained by your review of it.
What an experience that was. You know what's a fun one? Cam. C-A-M. That's on Netflix. It's about a cam girl, and it's very much like Starry Eyes, which if you haven't seen Starry Eyes, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Okay, I will put Starry Eyes on my list, but here's a Shudder film.
Yeah?
You may have actually seen this or seen of it. Mon 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 Monsters.
No, what is that?
It's, is it Taiwanese?
Whoa, that sounds awesome.
It's Chinese. It definitely has a
whoa.
the flavor of it is straight up monster movie, and the end of it is inspiring and depressing at the same time. It centers on bullying and I guess the Chinese version of voodoo.
This looks nuts.
It is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, I'm in. Whoa.
It's gory.
It's crazy town.
It's gory, it's brutal, and it's supposed to be a comedy, a horror comedy, and I'm like, I don't see the comedy in this, but this is art. The bullying is supposed to come off as funny, and I think it misses a little bit, but other people find it. I'm like, that's not hilarious. That's tragic. But this is beautifully made. It is wonderful.
It looks a little bit like Demon Knight in a way. Oh, wow. I'm in. Super in. Okay, yeah. I'm in.
And it's on Shudder, so you can... It should be on Shudder.
It's on Shudder.
I'm looking at it.
It may have been taken off Shudder, but I think it's on Amazon, so I can find that. Because I finally found... The thing about Shudder that is not my favorite thing about Shudder is that its interface is a little wonky if you do it through Amazon, so you don't see all of the movies. So you have to kind of know what's on there and then search for it through Amazon to find it. So finding like a list of all the movies that are on there was a little challenging, but I have it in front of me right now, finally. But yeah, that's my one gripe with Shudder is that there's more movies than it shows when you're looking through it, which is great. Oh, no, it is on Mon. There it is. Found it. Well, because it's bizarre because it's like at the, it's not, the alphabet is off because it's like wolf cop, wolf guy, zombie, monsters. I'm like, no, that's doesn't start with a Z, but okay, fine. It's there. There are also a lot of really good documentaries on Shudder right now.
Shudder, I was aware of Shudder slightly before Horror Noir came out, but I actually went to Shudder. Horror. That I want the Blu-ray of that. If there's not, you know, three discs worth of content, extra content for that, I will be disappointed. I want it all. I want all of it.
What an awesome movie.
Horror Noir just blew me away. I'm like, this is love.
Mm-hmm. There's another one on there called Smoke and Mirrors or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's called, and it's a Tom Savini documentary that is not as good as it should be, just from a directing standpoint, but it's got some really interesting insight into his life. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of little ones on there that are wonderful, but yeah, Horror Noir is the...
Do they have what is it? King Cohen, the one about Larry Cohen.
They do. I haven't watched that one yet. They do have King Cohen on there. At least I think they do. I just saw it a second ago. So let me make sure that's right before we continue, just in case people look it up and then you get an email. because I know I saw the picture. Yeah, it's definitely on Amazon Prime, but I don't know if it's on Shudder. But you can find out for yourself. Those mm-hmm. of you listening.
Yeah, no, that was a really good documentary. They talked about how they made some of those early movies, like was it Q, the Winged Serpent, and all those.
Yeah, that's old school, man.
That's seriously old school.
There was one more one on there that I thought was awesome. Nightmare Cinema, wasn't that one where Not Quite Hollywood. And it's all the Australian exploitation movies in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, so, wow.
Not Quite Hollywood's a good one. That one's on there. That was an old one. Yeah, it's called Smoke and Mirrors is the name of the Tom Savini one.
Oh, who was the guy that was doing like the Smell-O-Vision movies in the 50s? Castle.
Yeah, William Castle.
Yeah, there was a documentary about him that was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love that. I mean, you could just watch Matinee with John Goodman if you want to get a taste of it, because that was kind of loosely based on William Castle. Didn't know this. Thought this was interesting. William Castle's grandkids are the ones that started Dark Castle Entertainment. And so, like, 13 Ghosts. Remember when they were, like, they remade those old movies? That it's his family went back and remade all of his old movies. Like,
that's
13
cool.
Ghosts. House on Haunted Hill, and they were the ones that did like Ghost Ship and all that, because they were like Blumhouse before Blumhouse. So just a little side trivia for you.
And then, of course, there are the documentaries that everybody should have seen by now about Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Have you seen those?
Well, the is it called Scream Queen? Which one's that? What's that called? Oh shoot! Hang on. Hang on. I'll find it. Hold up. I know it exists. It's called. No, Never Sleep Again is one that's on there. Scream Queen. That's the one.
No, Never Sleep Again, yeah. And then there's the other one. Was it Crystal Lake Memories? I think both of those are like one of those is like 4 hours long, and I watched it. I watched all 4 hours on Netflix when it was there.
I was super, and also Never Sleep Again is a great one to watch. Nightmare on Elm Street one, but Scream Queen, my Nightmare on Elm Street is finally available. And I think it's on, it's not on Shudder yet. At least I don't think it is yet. I know they were talking about putting it on there. And I could be wrong. It might be on there now, which means that's what I'm watching as soon as I get off the phone with you. I've been waiting for this documentary to come out for years.
Tell me more.
It is about Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which is the one that people kind of remember but don't remember. And it's about Mark Patton, who is the lead in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. And it is about his experience, because he kind of went off the rails after that movie was over because he was a closeted homosexual. That whole movie is about being a closeted homosexual. It was this intense LGBTQ undertone in this movie that everybody that saw it, you can kind of, like when you watch it, you go, this movie's got some issues. There's some deep underlying darkness here about being a closeted person and not being allowed to be yourself and that kind of stuff. But people kind of put it off because it was the 80s and nobody really wanted to talk about it back then. But it ruined his career and he kind of went crazy because of it. And the movie is you know, in like 20 years down the line, people went back and rewatched Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and were like, this is actually a pretty brilliant musing on sexuality and being repressed. And that they noted that the lead character, is Mark Patton's character, is the final girl in this movie. And so that was a whole different thing. We'd never really seen that with a guy before like that, unless you count Ash. It really weighed on him psychologically, and this documentary is all about that.
Wow, I have to check that one out then.
It is just wonderful, and really, it really goes through what it was like in the 80s, and yeah. So, yes, Scream Queen is apparently outstanding, and I've been waiting for it to drop for a long time. It's not on Shudder yet that I see, but I know that it is available on Amazon.
Okay.
Make
a list of that.
Either way, I'm watching that tonight. Now that we started, I just got all jazzed again. Let's see what else on Netflix, because everybody's got Netflix. What did I just watch? Because I just watched a whole bunch of movies in a row. Veronica, that one's really good. It's a Spanish movie. It's the guys that did Rec. I want to say Paco Plaza. What did he do? Yeah, didn't he do Rec? Ah, yeah, it is. He did. Rec and all the Rec movies, and Veronica is this great little ghost story, and I guess it's based on a true story. She uses a Ouija board, you know where it goes from there, and it's got there's a sequence in that I think is one of my new favorites, where they're messing around with a Ouija board and the camera goes in a 360, and as they're hearing noises happening behind them.
Ooh.
And that's a good one. It's a fun little ghost story.
There's a monster movie or a haunting movie that does that kind of thing. I saw it last year. What's it called? It was an indie horror. Head Count.
Head Count.
Yes, Head Count is interesting because it's the first movie I know of that actually makes an urban legend out of an internet creepypasta.
Oh, fun.
And it's set out in the Mojave Desert. This kid is out there visiting his brother. He's falls in with this group of other kids because he, you know, sees this one girl and he really wants to, you know, hang mm-hmm. out with her. Mm-hmm. And they accidentally summon this creature by reading a post off of like a creepypasta type website. And I talked to the director, and the way she did some of the shots, because the monster is a doppelganger.
Cool.
And the way she split some of these shots was brilliant. Some brilliant Ooh. Cinematography and filming and directing in this. And I was the ending. I talked to her. I'm like, how could you do that to me?
Oh, this is awesome. I love when I read this too. One, this is the quote from this is the headline of the piece. One of the biggest horror movie scares of the year happens during a game of Never Have I Ever. And it's all about this movie. And they talk about how that scene is like a fulcrum in that film. Like I'm in. I love when I hear these things and people are like, oh, this is a scary sequence. I love scary sequences or legendary sequences in horror.
No, the scary part is like when they're in the house drinking later and you see this shot go by and you're like, wait, what was that?
Oh, she directed the short version of Happy Death Day? Wait, I'm confused. Oh, that's different. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the same. I'm just looking up Ellie Callahan or L Callahan, who directed Headcount. She's worked on a shit ton of movies though. She's in the sound department actually. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, she has like in that movie, she has a wonderful, brilliant eye and looks like, I'm like, you do another horror movie. I'm, you know, keeping an eye out for that.
Headcount. Let's see where I can find it. She worked in the visual effects for Age of Ultron. Well, she's a badass. All right. Mm-hmm. Rock on. Mm-hmm. Well, Chase. So yeah, I'm in for that. I was gonna tell you. On Amazon Prime. Where is that? Hang on, I want to make sure I'm right about this one. Googling. This is. Oh yeah, it's on Shudder. Okay, so Tigers Are Not Afraid.
I've heard of this one.
What a good movie. I did a double feature. It was Tigers Not Afraid and Sweetheart because I wanted something a little more lighthearted. Undercut Tigers Are Not Afraid because mm-hmm. it is stating and it is very scary.
Wow. Okay. I won't.
It's like Pan's Labyrinth devastating.
Oh.
With the orphanage level of scary.
Okay then.
Yeah. It's just something about the way they set the movie up and the way the ghosts work got under my skin. And it's really sad. It's about children living in like Mexico City and they are being hunted by a drug cartel that murdered all their parents, you assume. And they get one of the girls, a little girl whose mother was just murdered, she meets some kind of malevolent spirit that gives her three wishes. And the movie goes from there. And, it is so sad, but it is also some just like awesome fairy tale, grim fairy tale kind of horror. So yeah, it's serious, but it's worth it. Okay. But yeah, no, that's not a lighthearted Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are two movies
it'll stick with you.
That popped into mind when you described that. There's a movie, I think it's from 2015 or 2016. Brad Dourif and Liv Tyler are in it, called The Wildling.
Wildling. Ooh, I'm Googling that while you're talking.
And Ooh. There was one that came out around the same time. It's a Spanish language film called The Similars, and it's all filmed in black and white. It's like an extra long Twilight Zone, like old classic Twilight Zone episode, and it is so creepy and so cool.
Mm. These are both on my list now. Oh, that one looks, The Similars looks amazing. Interesting. There is a connection to the Twilight Zone with this movie. Yeah, I guess it. Oh wow! Yeah, Google it. It looks for those of you listening at home that can't see what I see. It's a big reveal. Don't say it. I'm not going to say it.
Nope. You cannot. You cannot. You have to. You have to just savor that movie.
I just saw the words "the big reveal is," and I just clicked out. Nope. Swing and a miss. All right, I'll check those out. The Similars and The Wildlings. Cool.
Yep.
Let's see. Well, I don't want to talk more about Shudder because you don't have it, so I don't want to make you jealous.
That's okay. No, you promote it away because I actually talked to one of their people, I think last year, right around when Horror Noir came out, Sam Zimmerman. And he is, if you follow Sam on Twitter, he's funny.
I will. It's really worth it for those of us out there with this particular fetish that is horror films.
I want to see The Deadlands.
The Deadlands!
Because that movie was amazing. And I'm like, wait, they're doing a series on it? And people, I've been watching the people who are like tweeting about it as they're watching it. I'm like, shut up. Just shut up.
I heard it's great. I watched Nosferatu, the Zachary Quinto, Joe Hill.
Hillman, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think it's a little too long. But it is really, really, yeah, because that's my issue with horror series is that I don't know how long you can carry one out successfully and keep the same tension. The Outsider did it really well. That's a great one. That's on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on the Stephen King book.
Right.
But you have to go into it knowing it's not you don't want to binge it. You want to savor it. Really, really well done. Very scary. Each episode ratchets up the dread, and then by the end, it's just like a full on freak fest.
Yeah, I have Hulu with the HBO add on, so that's actually on my list of stuff to watch. And they actually sent me an email asking me if I wanted a copy of the Blu-ray box set when it came out because there are a ton of extras in there. So I'm sitting there going,
I think you should because it's beautiful. It is season one of True Detective. Good.
Ooh.
Like, it's got that vibe to it, where everything is just bizarre and you're not sure what you're seeing. And I think the big problem that the audience had with it was that it was very slow. But I was like, yeah, but so? That's the speed this one's on. Where
if
you got to be.
If the payoff is worth it and the story isn't boring, I don't mind slow to a point.
No, I think that this one's not. It's definitely not a slasher. It's got some gore, but it's very much like True Detective is the vibe, where every episode's just gets you closer and closer to what's going on. And the thing about that show that I think a lot of people didn't get is that it's about the concept of the show is about people coming to grips with the fact that they're dealing with something supernatural. And it takes a long time for them to finally just go, you know what? Okay, it's a boogeyman. Let's go for it. Let's just accept it. And so that I think is why it works so well. But I do get that people were like, when does it get scary? I'm like, it's been scary this whole time. You're just invested in the story. Like, think about what it would be like if you all of a sudden realized that that there really are, you know, vampires or werewolves or something like that. Like, how long would it take before you finally accept it? So yeah, no, it's really good. But Nosferatu is more fun, though. I would say if you want something a little more crazy and fun, check that one out. It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's funny. It's goofy. Yeah, you'll get what you want from that one.
Cool.
That's a good one. What was I wanted to throw one at you, and I can't remember what it was. I'm looking through real quick. What was it? Society. You know about this?
No.
Oh, bud. So Society was this movie that came out like in the 80s that is, it's hard to describe without sounding like it sounds terrible, but just trust me. it was 1989 when this movie came out. It's Brian Usna, who is a horror staple. He did The Dentist and, he did Bride of Reanimator. He did the Beyond Reanimator. All these crazy, like Night of Living Dead 3. Like, he just did a bunch of gooey, gross movies. But he made this movie called Society, which is about a kid who's growing up in the suburbs in the 80s, and he realizes that maybe his family isn't really his family. And to tell you anything about what goes down kind of ruins it. But suffice to say, it is so timely in the days of now when we're dealing with the 1% that I felt like it at the beginning, it feels like this movie doesn't know how stupid it is. And then you start to realize, oh, no, that's a point. That's a plot point. And then it all kind of comes together at the end. And it's Screamin' Mad George, who did all the prosthetics and stuff for like Big Trouble in Little China and a lot of Carpenter's movies. And so the gore at the end is insane. Like, just crazy gross stuff. But it's become one of my favorite horror movies, because it is stupid and it is gross and it is the 80s and it's super problematic, but they kind of use that to make a point in a weird sort of roundabout way. The description of the film is enough to get you excited. An ordinary teenage boy discovers his family is part of a gruesome orgy cult for the social elite. That's essentially what it's about.
Okay.
But it's something about it just stuck with me. So we sat down one night. I have friends. We hang out. We watch we watch what we consider like, you know, terrible movies called Street Trash is the name of the group, named after the movie Street Trash. The classic, we're using the homeless to create zombies and some horrible thing in the 80s, if you remember that movie. Gory and horrible and very problematic. But so we call the group Street Trash because we get together and we watch like crazy midnight grindhouse movies and yell at the screen and all that kind of stuff. We found some pretty incredible movies. But one day we were sitting down, a friend of mine, we're going to recommend it to the group. So we were like, hey, let's watch it first to make sure we can get through it. And something about it, we were just like, wait a minute, I love this. And then when it was over, it was like, this movie's not bad. This movie's brilliant. And so, yeah, it's an acquired taste. I'll say that. But society, man. Yeah, I guess Brian Usen is the guy that produced the Reanimator. But it's got that 80s gore factor that's just you don't see anymore, all practical, and the ending is just insane, just off the chain. You're sitting there going, there's no way they're gonna, oh no, they're going there, oh, we're going right in there, oh my god. Legitimately horrifying.
I have added that to my list. I've never even heard of this one. I feel like out of touch
in advance for what you're about to go through. I'm sorry, but it's worth it. Oh man. I don't know. What else do you got? What do you got? Yeah. Anything?
I have a crown jewel for us to end on. How's that?
Excited.
A book came out right before Christmas, I believe, somewhere in the holiday season. It's a coffee table book from Titan Books. It is beautiful. It is nostalgic. It has all of those, they have pages in here that are copies of the handwritten and hand-sketched storyboards and production notes. It's called Designing Jaws.
What?
By Joe Alves, the guy who was the designer of the Jaws. And they have like mechanical schematics of the shark, and I have been waiting for 3 months to talk to him about this book.
Whoa. Are you going to get him on the show?
I'm working on it. I've been working it literally since Christmas. I just got the book maybe 2 weeks ago, and I've just been loving. I don't have cloth gloves, you know, the cotton gloves to, cause the dust cover is gorgeous.
This is a pretty book. Whoa.
You don't understand. Titan Books puts out some of the most beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful compilations and collections. They did a book on the Avengers, like the 1960s Avengers, you know.
Yeah. Nice.
And it is lovely. They have a book out. I don't even know if you can get it anymore. The Art of Drew Struzan.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, they every year they put out like one or two amazing books and they go out of print and they're impossible to get. They put out a book maybe 8 years ago or so, called Hardware. It was about the art of Chris Voss.
Oh, wow.
Who
yeah.
did all those space opera book covers right. in the 60s and 70s. And I got a copy of it. I'm sitting here like, this is delightful. This is gorgeous. And then like 3 years later, it's out of print and people are selling it on Amazon for $250. I'm like, what?
Well, you
I'm
gotta
glad
you
I got, have my copy.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to go on Amazon, see if I can grab it. Because what a pretty looking book.
Oh, my God. Ooh. Designing Jaws is absolutely gorgeous and it's chock full. And if I could talk for an hour with the guy who helped make Jaws, I could die happy.
I'll tell you this: if you slam that interview, you should do a conference call with me. I want in. I want to ask him many questions too. I just want to fawn. So hit me up because I am down.
We can do a collective. We're not worthy.
Yes. Oh, I'll bring Chad. Like we'll bring the whole family. Well, this is awesome. I can't wait to find this book. It's beautiful.
It is. It is.
It's like written notes and everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. The pages, like you see, like they have like yellow legal pad mm-hmm, notes, mm-hmm. pages and pages of notes in here. And then you've got like sketches and schematics and then behind the scenes photographs like in the on the water, on the beach. And I'm like, this is glorious.
This is glorious. Yeah, no, they have a whole, I'm looking at like on Amazon, they have like a couple of pages that you mm-hmm. can see and it's just like a mechanical blueprint showing Bruce the shark
yes.
on a little rig and it shows how it all works. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I could fawn over this all night. Yeah. I'm in. Oh man. That's so cool. Thank you.
I knew you'd love it. I knew you'd love it.
I'm psyched. Yeah. No, you have to conference me and I beg you. I must ask questions or I just ask the questions for us because you're good at it. You're better at them anyway.
I like the questions and my brain goes places where most questioners don't go. And I'm like, hey, no, wait, what about this?
Yeah. Tell me about that. Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for doing this in the midst of all this.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you can't go wrong talking genre entertainment that touches us, you know, heart and soul.
Totally. I have my list of things. I will listen to them and then maybe we'll talk again in the midst of this quarantine. I'll tell you what I thought about all these movies.
We can do that.
Let's do it.
So Josh, thank you so much.
Thanks. Stay scary.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Just wanted to clarify one little thing. The book Designing Jaws, the full title of it is Joe Alves Designing Jaws. It's written by Joe Alves' biographer, Dennis Prince, and it has a foreword by Greg Nicotero, and the book, again, is delightfully lovely And yes, I am being persistent in trying to at least get Dennis Prince on to talk about this book. Dennis and Joe were doing appearances in California back in early January, I believe. But I'm still hoping to chat with one or both of them about this book because, like I said, Jaws is probably my favorite horror slash monster movie. It made an impression on me long, long ago. Probably seeded that soft spot I have for monster movies. And as we know, the rest is history. In any event, I will have links to all of the TV shows and movies that Josh and I mentioned, at least the ones that are still available on some sort of streaming entertainment platform, because, yeah, why not stay inside and watch TV? Because we can't go outside as much as we used to. And I'll try to list all of them on Twitter in the tweet about this show. Again, I want to thank Josh for just sitting and geeking out with me on horror entertainment because, like I said, no death scribe, so we had to talk about something. And we should do this more often. I think so. Gonna have to figure that out. In any event, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, through Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iHeartRadio Podcasts, and Player FM. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher, you can leave us a review and let other folks know how much you are enjoying the content here. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. And yes, conversations held there frequently. Go check it out. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, the hub for all of the genre fun we're having is sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, check out other interviews, other reviews, and weigh in with your own opinions. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support Slice of Sci-Fi and the other shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi Playground, which include Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, and a handful of others like Horror Happenings. That's a calendar site I'm trying to build up. Kind of on hold right now since mass gatherings of horror fans are being actively discouraged all around the world. So we shall see how that goes. If you are interested in any, shall we say, horror or even sci-fi or paranormal opinion pieces, let me know. I have a whole abundance of sites to post them on, Slice of Sci-Fi in particular, especially if you want to do like TV reviews, let me know. But everyone who is supporting, you are supporting all of that by helping keep these online, and your pledges through Patreon and donations through PayPal are a blessing to me. They are a gift beyond compare. So thank you all. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And every month I grab a winner out of the grab bag of patrons to send a perk to. And if you just want to donate every now and then instead of committing to a monthly pledge, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.